Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a unique co-podcast with Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory and the law firm of Arendt Fox. Today you'll hear part one of a special three-part interview series with both Arendt Fox and Altus Group about hotel real property taxation in the District of Columbia. Right now I'm going to hand it over to our moderator, Ralph Taylor, who's a partner with Arendt Fox. And Ralph, take it away.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to part one of our three-part webinar on what you need to know about hotel real property taxation in the District of Columbia. My name is Ralph Taylor, as we said, and I am a partner in the D.C. law firm of Arendt Fox, and I will be the moderator of all three sessions. This first session, will include an introduction to the tax valuation of real property in general, followed by a more specific discussion of hotel valuations and why such valuations are different from valuations of other properties. In our second part, our speakers will discuss more specifically how DC assesses the value of hotels and identifies issues that may unduly increase your assessment and the tax bill based on it. Finally, in session three, our speakers will describe how you can appeal your hotel assessment if you think it is too high, and we'll also discuss the costs and benefits of appealing. For this first session, our speaker is David Linhoff. David is a nationally recognized expert and author on hotel appraisals. He teaches courses on hotel appraisals for the Appraisal Institute, and he frequently provides expert testimony on hotel valuation cases in D.C. and around the country. David, could you please get us started with a general description of how the value of real property is determined?
Sure. Good morning, Ralph. It is important, before we start to talk specifically about how you value hotels, to begin at the beginning of any appraisal, and that is the first thing an appraiser has to do is define the appraisal problem. In other words, identify what question he or she is being asked to answer. And in order to do that, the appraiser needs to identify what are termed the assignment elements. And these include identifying the client, identifying any other intended users of the appraisal, identifying the intended use of the appraisal, and then identify the type of value that's being sought, and the definition of that value. And that might seem sort of an odd question to have to answer, but there are certain jurisdictions where market value is not what is being sought. In Arizona, for instance, or in Indiana, you would be estimating market value in use. But in the District of Columbia, it is market value, but you have to define it. There are several definitions of it, and you have to be clear what it is that you're going to be answering. Next, the effective date of the opinion, and finally, and probably particularly important in hotel valuation, is identify the subject of the assignment and its relevant characteristics, and that involves more than just concluding that I'm valuing a hotel at 1000 Connecticut Avenue. It involves identifying the relevant characteristics of the real estate, but also what rights are being appraised and what asset is being appraised. With respect to rights, you would have to identify whether you're estimating the fee simple or the leased fee or some other determined bundle of rights. And then what asset? And with hotels, this is really the root of many of the problems that are encountered in bad appraisals, and that is, are you estimating the value of just the real property, or are you estimating the value of some other bundled assets? In the District of Columbia, you should be estimating just the value of the real property. So once you identify the problem, once it's clear in your mind what it is that you're going to be answering, usually the value is fairly straightforward. With real property, the appraiser capitalizes the rent for the real property, estimates a depreciated cost of the improvements and adds the site value, or makes a direct comparison to sales of similar real property. These are the three traditional approaches to value identified in nearly every real property appraisal text or course. Now, sometimes, though, the appraiser is not able to directly value the real property because you can't get real property rent or real property sales prices easily. And in these situations, the valuation of just the real property can get messy. Hotels are a great example of a situation where this is a particular problem, and that is because the real property component of a hotel is tightly bundled with other assets, such as tangible and intangible personal property and monetary assets. So with an office or a warehouse, for instance, where you would, in an income approach, identify the rent for the real property, the cost to occupy the space, and capitalize it, or find sales of other real property and compare them to the subject, you're not able to do that with a hotel. And for various reasons, the methodology changes. For instance, a hotel's real property isn't offered for rent. I mean, you probably have never driven down a street and seen a sign in front of a hotel that says for rent. On the other hand, you see them all the time on office buildings or industrial properties. And similarly, you probably have never driven by a hotel and seen a sign for sale, where the hotel building is for sale, unless, of course, it's a distressed situation. On the other hand, you see office buildings for sale all the time. And similarly, because of the changing consumer tastes and preferences for hotels, styles and layouts, et cetera, depreciation in a hotel is often accelerated, and their typical life is often much shorter than it is for, say, an office building or an industrial building. So these are some of the obstacles that you confront when you value the hotel real property. But these obstacles notwithstanding, the income approach is usually the primary approach to value hotel real estate. And it is the income approach that creates some of the significant differences among valuations of hotels. So let's take a little bit of a look at what those issues might be. First of all, because you can't find rents, yeah,
David,
of the hotel.
David, let me interrupt, if I may. Could you define again for our audience what the income approach is or how it works, and just very, very generally?
Sure. That's a good idea. With traditional real estate or conventional real estate, such as a warehouse, you find how much the space in the warehouse would rent for, and then you identify the expenses associated with that, deduct them, and you have what's called net income, and then you convert that to the value of the real estate, usually by dividing it by a capitalization rate, which is simply the relationship between 1 year's income and value. But with a hotel, because you don't have rents of hotel buildings, you have to begin the income approach with the revenue for the total assets of the business. And in addition to the real estate rent, the total assets of a hotel business include such things as the furniture in the rooms, the equipment, the services at the hotel. For instance, if you have an airport van, or you have concierge service, or you have conferences, or you have food and beverage sales, all of these contribute revenue that isn't real property revenue, but it's revenue to the business. But because there are no rents, you have to begin with the revenue to the total assets of the business. And then you deduct the expenses to the total assets of the business, and you're left with the net income to the total assets of the business. Now, if you capitalized that, you would end up with the value of the total assets of the business, and that would be maybe the right answer, but to the wrong question in a hotel assessment situation, because it's the value of the only the real property component that's being sought. So you begin with the income to the total assets, you get the net income to the total assets after deducting expenses, and you're left with the net income to the total assets from which you must now strip or peel away the income that is attributable to the non-real estate components, and this would be tangible and intangible personal property. So let's look at, and by the way, it is this, the stripping away of the tangible and intangible personal property that represents the root of many of the problems with hotel valuations for assessment purposes. So first of all, how do you remove the income for the tangible personal property, and what is the tangible personal property? In a hotel, this is typically the furniture, fixtures, and equipment. It's the stuff in your room, the televisions, the beds, the dressers, the sheets. All of this is personal property. In the kitchen, you have all the kitchen equipment, and this is all fine, but it's not real property, and so the revenue associated with that has to be removed from the income to the total assets. So how might you do this? Well, let's assume that the cost new of the furniture, fixtures, and equipment in a hotel is $25,000 per room key. And let's assume that it's 50% depreciated. That's $12,500 in value per room key. So if you can identify the appropriate capitalization rate for furniture, fixtures, and equipment, which will be a little bit higher than the capitalization rate for just the real estate because it's considered a little bit more risky, you can multiply that cap rate times the $12,500 value, and you get the income that represents the return on and return of the furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And if you subtract that from the income to the total assets, you'll have remaining the income to the real property and the intangible assets. Now, the next step would be to remove the income to the intangible assets. And this begins with an identification of the intangible assets. What might be an intangible asset in a hotel? And one of the easiest to recognize is a flag or an affiliation or a franchise with one of the major hotel companies, say Marriott. Often a hotel owner will pay Marriott a lot of money to have Marriott flag the hotel, that is, name it Marriott, put a flag on it, and train the hotel personnel to perform in a way that's consistent with Marriott's management requirements. This has a lot of value. Obviously, the only reason a hotel owner would do that is if he expected that by doing it, his room's revenue would increase high enough so that he could pay back Marriott the cost of the flag and still retain some sort of return on what he paid Marriott. And so when you remove a franchise from the equation or an intangible asset, you need, just as with the tangible personal property, to deduct an income amount that represents an annual return on and a return of that asset. And so you have
David,
to do that.
David, I'm sorry to interrupt again. Can you explain very briefly what you mean, the difference between return of and return on?
Sure. I think the easiest way to do that, Ralph, is to think of a loan. When a lender, a bank, lends you $100,000, he gives you $100,000, and let's say his interest rate's 5%. What he expects in return for giving you $100,000 is for you to provide him a return of the loan, and that's give him back the $100,000, and also give him a return on the loan, which is the interest rate. So he gets back what he paid, the $100,000 to you, and interest, which is the return on it. So with a hotel and, say, a franchise, the same thing happens. When you pay Marriott for their flag, you expect that the additional revenue at the hotel is going to give you back what you paid Marriott, the return of the investment, plus give you some sort of return on it, some sort of incentive to do it in the first place. So most of the differences in hotel valuations center on how the tangible and intangible personal property are removed from the income to the total assets. And if you don't do it properly, you end up with a value that includes more than just the real property, and the taxes that the property owner would be paying would be inappropriately high. So those are the issues that are encountered with the valuation of hotel property in general. In the second session, I'm going to be joined by my associate, Jeremy Chitlick, a senior manager at Altus Group. And we are going to discuss District of Columbia hotel valuation methodology issues specifically and in more detail. So look forward to that.